Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
January sales tax dips. OA News at OAOA.com. The city of Odessa received its January sales tax check in the amount of $3,483,683.24. This amount includes the economic development sales tax of 1/4 cent. The city of Odessa will receive $2,786,946.59, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $696,736.65. The city saw a decrease in sales tax revenue, with January sales tax revenue total of $2,786,946.59, which reflects a $1,273,601.24, or 31.37%, as compared to January 2020, a news release said. The year-to-date total sales tax revenue for fiscal year 2020-21 is up 13.90%, or $1,520,621.32, as compared to budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. In addition, the 2020-21 year-to-date amount is below the previous fiscal year-to-date amount by $5,889,763.60, or 32.10%. The city has budgeted $36 million in net sales tax revenues for this current fiscal year. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax revenue from 2 months prior to collection, i.e., January's collection is based on November sales. MMH receives Quality Achievement Award. OA Life at OAOA.com. Midland. Midland Memorial Hospital has received the Mission Lifeline Silver Receiving Quality Achievement Award for implementing specific quality improvement measures outlined by the American Heart Association for the treatment of patients who suffer severe heart attacks. Every year, more than 250,000 people experience an ST elevation myocardial infarction, STEMI, the deadliest type of heart attack, caused by a blockage of blood flow to the heart that requires timely treatment. To prevent death, it's critical to restore blood flow as quickly as possible, either by mechanically opening the blocked vessel or by providing clot-busting medication. The American Heart Association's Mission Lifeline program's goal is to reduce system barriers to prompt treatment for heart attacks, beginning with the 911 call to EMS transport and continuing through hospital treatment and discharge. Midland Memorial Hospital earned the award by meeting specific criteria and standards of performance for quick and appropriate treatment through emergency procedures to reestablish blood flow to blocked arteries in heart attack patients coming into the hospital directly or by transfer from another facility. MMH is dedicated to providing optimal care for heart attack patients, Tessa Richardson said. We are pleased to be recognized for our dedication and achievements in cardiac care through Mission Lifeline. We commend MMH for this award in recognition for following evidence-based guidelines for timely heart attack treatment. Tim Henry, MD, chair of the Mission Lifeline Acute Coronary Syndrome Subcommittee, said, "We applaud the significant institutional commitment to their critical role in the system of care for quickly and appropriately treating heart attack patients." Local teachers to keep expired federal COVID-19 benefits. OA News at OAOA.com. On the first school day after federal workplace safeguards expired for millions of Americans, the Harmony Public Schools Executive Board voted to independently provide the much-needed benefits to its 4,000-plus employees. The benefits previously were part of the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, FFCRA, a federal program which provided American workers a number of workplace safeguards related to COVID-19. Primarily, the benefits included up to 10 emergency paid sick leave, EPSL, days if an employee was unable to work due to COVID-19 diagnosis, symptoms, possible exposure, or required quarantine for themselves, a family member, or child care provider, a news release said. Those federal benefits expired December 31st, 2020. However, the Harmony Public Schools Executive Board voted at an emergency meeting Monday night, January 4th, to independently extend the same benefits to employees throughout the remainder of the 2020-21 school year. The Harmony Board felt this action was not only an important thing to do, but the right thing to do for our staff and their families, Harmony CEO Fatih I said in the letter to employees Tuesday. By offering these benefits, our team members can know that their jobs and livelihoods will not be impacted if they need to seek treatment for COVID-19 or stay home with possible symptoms. Additionally, our student families know that Harmony is doing all they can to take care of the team members who take care of their students and reduce potential COVID-19 exposure on campus. Harmony Public Schools is a statewide public charter school system with campuses serving pre-K through 12 students in 23 cities across the state, including Greater Houston, DFW, San Antonio, Austin, El Paso, Waco, Lubbock, Odessa, Bryan, Beaumont, Laredo, and the Rio Grande Valley. Harmony's curriculum places a heavy focus on STEM skills, character education, project-based learning, and college readiness. The school system has committed to offering both in-person and remote learning options for students throughout the 2020-2021 school year, and is now accepting applications for new students for the 2021-22 school year. On the net, harmonytx.org. MOSC returns with Mozart. OA News at OAOA.com. Midland. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale will return to the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center in 2021 with their Masterwork Series with Mostly Mozart, which is scheduled to take place at 7:30 p.m. on January 30th. The program will celebrate the musical repertoire of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. The program will open with the overture, The Abduction from the Seraglio, a hugely successful opera that Mozart was commissioned to write at age 26, a news release said. The performance will also include Mozart's 41st symphony, Jupiter. The program will also feature Karen Crutchfield, MOSC principal oboe, as the featured musician. She is in her 25th season with the orchestra. Seating will be socially distanced and therefore very limited. People must wear masks and follow all safety precautions outlined by the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Tickets start at $10. Student tickets are free with a paying adult or valid college ID. On the net, www.mosc.org. PBAF scholarship application period opens. OA News at OAOA.com. Midland. Permian Basin Area Foundation has announced the opening of the 2021-2022 scholarship cycle. Students and counselors may view eligibility and selection criteria for more than 80 scholarships through the application platform Academic Works, which can be accessed through the Permian Basin Area Foundation website, www.pbaf.org. The application deadline is March 31st. The foundation is looking forward to connecting Permian Basin students with local scholarship opportunities here at the foundation, Sherry Hiding, scholarships administrator, said in a news release. Applicants are required to complete only one online application, which will then place them in a pool of scholarships for which they may qualify. However, it will be very important to read all instructions because approximately 12 scholarships are unique in their criteria, with an outside application, a second essay, or a different deadline. Though the foundation was unable to host its annual scholarship dinner, Permian Basin Area Foundation awarded more than $700,000 in scholarships to area students during the last academic year. The foundation anticipates awarding more than $500,000 for the 2021-2022 academic year. These awards are made possible by numerous donors to the foundation's scholarship funds in support of local students pursuing higher education. To learn more about scholarships, grants, and the philanthropic work of donors partnering with Permian Basin Area Foundation, visit www.pbaf.org or call 432-617-3213. On the net, pbaf.org. ECISD to celebrate trustees during School Board Recognition Month. OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County ISD joins 1,024 school districts throughout Texas to celebrate January as School Board Recognition Month. Our school board members are volunteers who shoulder critical responsibilities and often make difficult choices for our district, all without pay. Their goal is always focused on the future success of the children in our district, Superintendent Scott Murray said in a news release. Celebrating School Board Recognition Month is one way to say thanks for all they do. The mission of public schools is to meet the diverse educational needs of all children and to empower them to become competent, productive contributors to a democratic society and an ever-changing world. Local school board members are committed to children and believe that all children can be successful learners and that the best education is tailored to the individual needs of the child. Trustees serve as a link between the community and classroom, and school board members are elected to establish the policies that provide the framework for public schools. The ECISD board is responsible for an annual budget of $300 million, 32,000 students, 4,200 employees, and 43 campuses. On the net, ectorcountyisd.org.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, January 6, 2021. Obituaries. E.D. Jack Gardner, Jr., Odessa. E.D. Jack Gardner, age 88, of Odessa, Texas, passed away peacefully in his sleep on January 2, 2021. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, January 7, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Pastor Jackie Brim of Second Baptist Church officiating. Jack Gardner was born in Breckenridge, Texas, to Elva David and Eunice Gardner on November 8, 1932. When he was 8 years old, he and his family moved to Odessa. He graduated from Odessa High School in 1952, then enrolled at Odessa College. He left college in October 1953 when he was drafted into the Army. He trained and was stationed at Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas, where he calibrated field artillery and anti-aircraft weapons. After serving for 2 years, Jack was honorably discharged from the Army in October of 1955. He married the love of his life, Sally, on May 31, 1958 in Odessa. They were married for 62 years and were blessed with 3 boys. Jack worked for the United States Postal Service beginning in 1962 until his retirement in 1996. Jack is survived by his wife, Sally, sons David Gardner and wife, Larissa, and Jack Gardner and wife Renee, 3 grandchildren, and 1 great-granddaughter. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made in Jack's name to Second Baptist Church or a charity of your choice. Arrangements are entrusted to the Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Constance Gloria Connie Morgan, Odessa, Texas. Connie Morgan passed away January 3, 2021, at the age of 94. She was the daughter of Mr. and Miss Arthur Blackburn. At the age of 1 year, she went to live with her aunt and uncle, Marie and Val Morgan. At the age of 9 years, she received Christ as her Savior while attending a Presbyterian Sunday school. This relationship was the compass guiding her life. She attended only 2 Seattle schools, graduating from Grover Cleveland Junior Senior High School in 1943. Her education continued at the University of Washington, ultimately leading to a B.S. degree in nursing. She worked in several Seattle hospitals and in 1949 was appointed clinical instructor, University of Washington School of Nursing. In 1952, she took a position as head nurse in a new Veterans Administration hospital. In 1954, she was employed by Seattle King County Health Department and visiting nurse service, which would remain her favorite. December 19, 1953, she married Dale W. Morgan. No children were born to this marriage, which ended in 1958. In 1957, she moved to the San Francisco Bay Area, where she remained for 15 years. While there, work was completed at the University of California, San Francisco, leading to a Master of Science in Nursing in 1962. In 1969 to 1970, work was taken toward certification as a pediatric nurse practitioner. A move to Arkansas was made in January 1972 to take a position at University of Arkansas School of Nursing teaching community health nursing. While there, the class of 1975 awarded her the honor of being named the faculty person making the greatest contributions to their 3-year clinical experience. She took a position with Arkansas Department of Health in 1977 in the Division of Maternal and Child Health. She remained there until retirement in 1991. In 1978, work was completed toward taking the Pediatric Nurse Practitioner Certification Examination. Certification was granted in 1978 by a national board. While at the State Health Department, she served as nurse coordinator for the State Newborn Screening Program and also its Sudden Infant Death Program. Well-child clinics were also part of her assignment and took her to various parts of the state. After retirement, she remained in Arkansas until May 2000, at which time she moved to Odessa, Texas to be near friends. She is survived by many cousins and by 2 sisters, Terry Frischaw of Escalon, California, and Gloria Morton of Odessa, Texas, who have been like daughters. A memorial service to celebrate Connie's life will be held Thursday, January 7, 2021 at 2 p.m. at New Life Church, 7184 Club Drive, Odessa, Texas. The service is under the direction of American Heritage Funeral Home with Tim Halstead officiating. Donations may be made in her memory to the University of Washington School of Nursing, Box 357260, Seattle, Washington, 98195-7260, or Habitat for Humanity. Connie spent the last years of her life at the Courtyards Assisted Living Community. A special thank you goes to Becky Rose and Marisa of Star Hospice. They were extremely patient with Connie. Due to COVID, the family, New Life Church, and the funeral home are practicing social distancing as well as wearing a mask during the memorial service. Masks will be required during the service at all times. We appreciate your cooperation. Luberta Golden, Odessa, Texas. Luberta Graven Golden, 95, of Odessa, passed away peacefully at her home on Monday, December 28, 2020. Luberta was born on September 12, 1925, to John and Penny Cravens in Anson, Texas. Luberta attended Fred Douglas of Anson, Center Point, Lancaster, and Abilene High. Luberta met the love of her life at an early age, McKinley Golden. McKinley and Luberta were married March 12, 1949 in Ector County. They were married for 62 years. McKinley and Luberta had four beautiful children, Donald Ray McKinley Jr., Brenda Joyce, Charles Edward. Luberta worked for the Barrow Ranch faithfully for 63 years before retiring, but she never retired as being a grandmother to them as well. Luberta also worked faithfully for her church, Carter's Chapel, CME, since 1949. Just helping, organizing everything with mission, and most of all in the kitchen. Luberta loved children. She helped raise her grandchildren and other children as well, Anthony Miller, Zinda Miller, and also the Barrows kids too. Taking care of children was her motto. Luberta was preceded in death by her loving husband of 62 years, McKinley Golden Jr., her parents, John and Penny Cravens, her two sons, McKinney Golden Jr., Charles Edward, two brothers, John T. Cravens and Sammy K. Cravens. Luberta is survived by her children, Donald Ray of Seattle, Washington, Brenda Joyce and companion Glenn, her only sister, Beulah Jackson, eight grandchildren, 23 great-grandchildren, numerous great-great-grandchildren, a host of nieces, nephews, and extended family, such as Pat Barrow and the Barrow Ranch. We would like to express our thanks to Home Hospice for such great care of Luberta and her nurse, Amber. Thank you so much. Visitation will be held at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home on Thursday, January 7, 2021, from 6 to 8 p.m. Homegoing celebration will be held at St. James Missionary Baptist Church on Friday, January 8, 2021, at 1 p.m. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Death notices. Lorenza Luna Laura Ocon, Odessa. Lorenza Luna Laura Ocon, 72, of Odessa, died Saturday, December 19, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. January 8, 2021, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Family has opted for cremation, and an interment of cremains will be scheduled at a later date at Ector County Cemetery. Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Juan R. Castillo, Odessa. Juan R. Castillo, 70, of Odessa, died Monday, December 28, 2020, in Odessa. Memorial service was scheduled for 4 to 8 p.m. January 5, 2021 at Main Chapel at Purchase Funeral Homes. Arrangements are by La Paz Purchase Funeral Homes of Odessa. William Lee Bill Huff, Midland. William Lee Bill Huff, 67, of Midland, died Saturday, December 19, 2020 in Midland. Celebration of Life is scheduled for 11 a.m. January 9th, 2021 at True Light Christian Fellowship. Arrangements are by Naily Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Joe Anthony Longoria, Odessa. Joe Anthony Longoria, 47, of Odessa, died Friday, December 25th, 2020 in Odessa. Celebration of Life is scheduled for 2 p.m. January 6th, 2021 at American Heritage Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Emma Hernandez Madrid, Odessa. Emma Hernandez Madrid, 65, of Odessa, died Monday, January 4th, 2020 in Odessa. Chapel service is scheduled for 7 p.m. Thursday, January 7th, 2021 at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will be held at Desert Hills Cemetery in Presidio, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Joe De Leon Salazar III, Odessa. Joe De Leon Salazar III, 49, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 2nd, 2021 in Odessa. Chapel service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Monday, January 11th, 2021 at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, January 7th, 2021. Obituaries. Elgin Ray Punk Jones, Mentone. Elgin Ray Punk Jones, age 93, passed away on Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, at his home in Mentone, Texas. He was born September 25, 1927, in Coleman County, to William Lafayette and Audie Martha Snediger Jones. Elgin married Mary Bell Stedham on June 7, 1950, in the Ibex community, and they shared 70 years together. Punk is survived by his loving wife, Mary Bell Jones of Mentone, Texas, children Skeet Jones and wife Barbara of Mentone, Texas, Ramona Moore and husband Stan of Amarillo, Texas, Tom Jones and wife Karen of Mobidi, Texas, Richard Jones of Mentone, Texas, and Moselle Carr and husband John of Mentone, Texas. 14 grandchildren and 26 great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, William and Audie Jones, siblings Sam, Bill, Alan, Callie, Vernon, and Doc, daughter-in-law Liz Jones, and great-grandsons Cole and Corbin Jones. Funeral services will be held 1 p.m. Saturday, January 9th, 2021, at the Mentone School Gym. Funeral services will be held 1 p.m. Saturday, January 9th, 2021, at the Mentone School Gym, with Brother Monty Huffman officiating. There will be 100% COVID screening starting at 11:30 a.m. at the Mentone School Gym, as well as free COVID testing to those that have a concern. Burial will follow at the P&M Jones Family Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Sunset International Bible Institute Missionary Fund. Arrangements are entrusted to Family Services Funeral Parlor, and condolences may be sent to the family online at www.fsfp.com. Constance Gloria Connie Morgan, Odessa, Texas. Connie Morgan passed away January 3rd, 2021, at the age of 94. She was the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Blackburn. At the age of 1 year, she went to live with her aunt and uncle Marie and Val Morgan. December 19, 1953, she married Dale W. Morgan. No children were born to this marriage, which ended in 1958. She is survived by many cousins and by two sisters, Terry Freshour of Escalon, California, and Gloria Morton of Odessa, Texas, who have been like daughters. A memorial service to celebrate Connie's life will be held Thursday, January 7th, 2021, at 2 p.m. at New Life Church, 7184 Club Drive, Odessa, Texas. The service is under the direction of American Heritage Funeral Home, with Tim Halstead officiating. Donations may be made in her memory to the University of Washington School of Nursing, Box 357260, Seattle, Washington, 98195-7260, or Habitat for Humanity. Connie spent the last years of her life at the Courtyards Assisted Living Community. A special thank you goes to Becky, Rosie, and Marissa at Star Hospice. They were extremely patient with Connie. Due to COVID, the family, New Life Church, and the funeral home are practicing social distancing as well as wearing a mask during the memorial service. Masks will be required during this service at all times. We appreciate your cooperation. Death notices. Chandaray Rao Badillo, Odessa. Chandaray Rao Badillo, 48, of Odessa, died Monday, January 4th, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Friday, January 8th, 2021, at West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Leonard Craig B., Odessa. Leonard Craig B., 60, of Odessa, died Wednesday, December 23rd, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. James Ronald Ron Connor, Basin, Wyoming. James Ronald Ron Connor, 70, of Worland, Wyoming, died Friday, January 1st, 2021, in Basin, Wyoming. Chapel service is scheduled for 10 a.m. January 7th, 2021, at Grace Chapel Community Church. Pastor Louis Pantelis is officiating. Arrangements are by Bryant Funeral Home of Worland, Wyoming. Roy Marquez Galindo, Odessa. Roy Marquez Galindo, 53, of Odessa, died Monday, January 4th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. January 8th, 2021, at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Bessie Mae Hunt, Odessa. Bessie Mae Hunt, 101, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 27, 2020, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, January 9, 2021, at Rose of Sharon. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Reverend Archie is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Timoteo Rodriguez Romero, Odessa. Timoteo Rodriguez Romero, 88, of Odessa, died Saturday, December 19, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, January 7, 2021, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Kathy Ruth McCarty Struble, Odessa. Kathy Ruth McCarty Struble, 58, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Betty Lou Watts, Odessa. Betty Lou Watts, 75, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, January 2, 2020. Trustees must ask the right questions in search of superintendent. Stuart Doreen, sdoreen@hearstnp.com. There is an obvious problem with the superintendent search Midland ISD is going through. There isn't anyone on the board with the experience of hiring a successful MISD leader. Tommy Bishop is about to be the dean of Midland ISD board members. He has served since 2006. He's the only person who has been part of the last three superintendents, Sylvester Perez, Ryder Warren, and Orlando Riddick. We must do better when it comes to an academic turnaround. Needless to say, there isn't anyone on the board with the experience of asking the right questions that will help seven people identify the appropriate person to come into one of the most challenging situations in the state. Does it mean finding the right person will be impossible? No. And here's a few areas where I would start. It's about culture. How often do sports fans see a team that has been a bottom dweller for decades, but suddenly makes a bowl run or a trip to the NCAA tournament? When the media talks to the coach, you often hear something about changing the culture, creating a belief that success is possible. If I'm talking to anyone interested in taking over the district, I need to hear about success changing the culture and how that happens with the dynamics in place in Midland. Boring isn't bad. It was certainly easy to see that Ryder Warren and Orlando Riddick could both hold court. I think anyone who wonders how either were picked for a leadership job never spent any time listening to either when they were on their respective games. And while being communicative has been listed as a trait in the next superintendent, it takes a back seat to substance. If it is good enough for an interim, then it is good enough for permanent. Twice in the last 5 years, Midland ISD has had the right person capable of being the transformative leader in the superintendent's office. The problem is, both times they have been interim office holders who have openly said they were not interested in the gig full-time. It was so hard to figure about the superintendency of Orlando Riddick. It followed a school year with Rod Schroeder at the helm. Schroeder gave the district a blueprint that was not followed. Track record, track record, track record. There probably was a time when Warren would have been the right candidate to be the superintendent at MISD, just as he appears to be a great fit at Northwest ISD. The same can be said about Riddick. There's probably a better fit for him and what he does well than Midland ISD. Still, when it came to academic improvement and turnarounds, neither man had a long record of turning around academically challenged districts. West Texas isn't for everyone. The next candidate should be well-versed in Midland, our strengths and, yes, our weaknesses. If the last three candidates were any indication, the next superintendent should know that the level of media coverage increases dramatically whether they are coming from smaller or many larger markets. They should know businesses and foundations are extremely supportive of Midland ISD, and there are a number of private schools already established in Midland. They should know about the positives and negatives of the oil industry's impact on district operations, and they should realize that this community will be rightfully skeptical early, but will celebrate the person who makes academic improvement happen inside Midland ISD. They should know the makeup of our student population and be well-versed in how our region is changing. They should be able to tell the Board of Seven how all that factors into the type of superintendent they will be, and then our board must determine whether that will translate into success. It is a matter of principle. This one is dedicated to Haley McCarthy, Aaron Fong, and Letty Amala. The first is the principal of Idea Travis, and the latter two were accomplished at Bush Elementary and South Elementary, respectively. I personally believe that the success of Midland schools over the next 10 years will be with the hiring of the right principals, who then lead the teachers and staff on education's front line. We will need a visionary superintendent capable of making those right hires, like McCarthy, Fong, and Amala, people who took over troubled or underperforming schools and showed the possibilities that exist and the potential for academic achievement. Writing this column reminds me of an email I received in response to an editorial following the departure of Warren to the Metroplex in 2016. It was written that Warren ultimately accomplished what he was hired to do: improve the communication with the community and have success with bond issues. The implication was that he was not hired to deal with or correct an academic downturn. The board member's email was appreciative that the editorial acknowledged that the board accomplished its goals with the hiring, something I thought was strange considering the district's academic standing at the time. That brings up the final point. Success is only possible if the board knows what they are looking for and stays true to the mission. Godspeed, lady and gentlemen. There's a way out of the muddy pit that was 2020. Pastor Doug Lamb, Fannin Terrace Baptist Church. Editor's note: this submission from Pastor Lamb is another article for Midland Spiritual Leaders. If there are other leaders who wish to submit an article for publication, please contact editor Stuart Doreen at sdoreen@hurstmp.com. What do you do when your life seems to be stuck in a muddy pit? This past year has been a doozy. Things started out well, then the whisper of COVID-19 came along. People got sick and started dying. People panicked and toilet paper disappeared. Then businesses were shut down. Jobs were lost. The economy was shaky. Violence was in the streets of many cities in America. Gun and ammunition sales went through the roof as fear got a hold of people. The presidential election brought a flurry of controversy. In short, most of 2020 felt like we had been standing in the bottom of a pit on a cold day, stuck in mud up to our waist. Is God in control? Yes. Is God doing things through all this? Yes. Are we aware of all that God is doing? Not at all. Is everything going to work out according to God's plan? Without doubt. But how do we move forward into 2021 without dragging all the mess of 2020 along with us? I'm reminded of a passage from the Bible in Psalm 40. There a man named David wrote about a difficult time in his life, how he responded, and what God did as a result. If David were here today, I think that what he would tell us is that when life gets tough, hold on to God. So, how do we do that? The first thing we learn is that we should continue to pray. In this psalm, we read how God heard David's cry. That means David was praying and asking for help. How about you? When things get hard, do you give up? Do you pull back from God? Difficult times should not drive us from God. Rather, difficult times should drive us to God. Like David, we must recognize that real relief will come from no one other than God. When life gets hard, hold on to God and keep praying. What else can we do? We need to wait for God to answer in His time. David wrote that he waited patiently. Do you think David wanted his answer quickly? I'm pretty sure he did. But he waited for God to answer in His time. We need to remember that God's timing is always best. We get locked into thinking we know best. We don't. And when the time is right, God will get you out of the mess in which you find yourself. David wrote that God drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. In other words, God rescued David. Are you wallowing in a pit today? Do you feel like you are going under? Is God taking a long time to answer? Hold on. God is coming. God sees you. You may feel down today, but He has not forgotten you. Hold on. God is coming. You may feel like you have nothing left. God will send His help, no matter where you are. You are not beyond His reach. Hold on. God is coming. He will rescue you. He will never stop reaching out for you. He will never stop fighting for you. And He will win. When the time is right, our Heavenly Father will run to us and lift us out of the mess in which we find ourselves. Hold on and wait for God to answer in his time. But there is another thing we learn, and that is to enjoy the security God provides to us. In the middle of verse 2, David wrote that God set his feet upon a rock. This means God not only got David out of the mess, but he then put David in a place of stability and security. What would provide you with stability and security? What stability and security mean for David is likely similar to what it might mean for us. For David, it was getting out of a bad situation and finding himself in a good situation. Maybe that is what you need. But know this, that at the end of the day, all the things in which we find security, money, joy, position, authority, influence, one's appearance, possessions, and so on, will one day all leave us. On what will you then stand on for stability and security? I submit to you that there is only one source of stability and security, a growing relationship with Jesus. Finally, we must learn to embrace the joy God gives to us. David wrote that after God delivered him, he had a new song in his heart that gave God praise. David had joy. You know, of all the things that seemed to be missing in 2020 was joy. Yet, from a Christian worldview, we should not view bad times as bad. The Bible teaches us that God sometimes uses hard times to grow us in perseverance and maturity. When hard times hit, the question to ask is not, why me, but rather, what is God teaching me with this? And it is there in the answer that we can find joy. Was 2020 a standing in the bottom of a pit on a cold day, stuck in mud up to our waist kind of year for you? What made 2020 a muddy pit for you? Was it the events of this year? Was it the death of a family member? Was it a work situation that hit you hard? Was it a relationship problem? Was it tough money times? Recently, Gallup released the results of its annual research on America's mental health. Gallup asked Americans to say whether their own mental or emotional well-being is excellent, good, only fair, or poor. The ratings held steady until this year. The results show that people's view of their mental health is the lowest it has been in over two decades. They looked at 19 categories, and only one category saw improvement. All other 18 categories saw a decrease in mental health. The people in the one category endured the same stuff everyone else did in 2020. Yet, their mental health was the only category that saw an increase. What is unique about this group? They are only category of people who attend church weekly. Let me say that again. People who attend church weekly were the only group in 19 different categories who saw an improvement of their mental health. People in the survey who attend nearly weekly or monthly saw a big drop. People who attend seldom or never dropped even more. What does that show us? That in the midst of all that came at us in 2020, attending church every week is highly likely to give you better mental health. Why? Because when things get tough and we hold on to God, He lifts us up and puts us in places of stability and security and puts a song of joy in our hearts. Today, I challenge you to turn your attitude to the goodness of God as you wait on Him and anticipate a better year.
Exceptions to the use of masks during pandemic. Dear Dr. Roach, what medical condition would make wearing a mask impossible? I have COPD, and a friend had one lobe removed from his lungs, but we are both able to wear a KN95 mask. CE. Answer. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the people who should not wear a mask are children younger than 2 years old, anyone who has trouble breathing, and anyone who is unconscious, incapacitated, or otherwise unable to remove the mask without assistance. As you point out, even people with fairly severe lung issues are usually able to tolerate a mask. One has to use judgment. If a person really can't wear a mask, then a face shield provides some degree of protection, but it is not a good substitute. Physical distancing becomes even more important if a mask cannot be worn. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, January 7th. Mom is pressured to teach native language to daughter. Dear Abby, I came to this country 30 years ago at age 16. My parents were very abusive and neglectful, so my uncle in the U.S. took me in. I have worked with therapists, and my mind is clear about my past. I now have a 14-year-old daughter. I do not speak to her in my native language. It is not very good at expressing love and caring, and has more emphasis on strict hierarchy and obedience. There are many things I cannot convey in my native language. One must understand the huge cultural difference between my native country and the U.S. In addition, I do not want to force my daughter to learn something because someone other than her insisted. I prefer to spend my resources helping her learn something she is interested in. If she says she wants to learn my native language, I'll teach her. So far, she has shown no interest. My friends criticize me for not teaching it to her. I'm bothered by their insistence that I'm robbing my daughter of the opportunity to learn it. How do I tell them it is none of their business? Signed, Reader in Hawaii. Dear Reader, your daughter may not have asked to learn your native language because it hasn't occurred to her that it might one day be a valuable asset. I do think you should offer to teach it to her if she's interested in knowing more about the culture that shaped her mother, because her answer might surprise you. That said, because her friends' comments bother you, tell them that because you don't tell them how to raise their children, you prefer they not tell you how to raise yours. Dear Abby, I have a unique problem, and if it isn't resolved, I'm afraid my marriage is going to end in divorce. 10 years ago, at my brother-in-law's wedding, I was left in charge of the bar. I got drunk and made a fool of myself. This included overtly flirting with one of the bridesmaids. I'm incredibly sorry about the embarrassment it caused my wife. Fast forward to today. My wife has accused me of inappropriate behavior and hundreds of affairs that never happened. I have been faithful to her since we started dating. She goes through my business phone and accuses me and my professional contacts of sexual behavior. I have offered to take a polygraph exam, but she continues to accuse me of infidelity. I'm at my wit's end, and marriage counseling isn't an option. Signed, Not Fooling Around in Maine. Dear Not Fooling, marriage counseling may not be an option for you and your wife, but you should definitely consult a licensed psychotherapist. Something is not right with your wife. Is it possible that the wedding incident so severely unbalanced her that she has never recovered? What you have described is a miserable existence for both of you. That it has gone unresolved for a decade is tragic. Where you need to go from here, I cannot decide for you, but a therapist may be able to guide you.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Capricorn and a moon in Libra until 2:53 a.m. when the moon enters Scorpio. Happy birthday for Thursday, January 7, 2021. Unusual, sensitive, and ironic, you have a piercing insight that you use to tremendous success this year. You see much that escapes others, and your idiosyncratic approach assures a project's longevity. If single, expect interesting turns, twists, and revelations. You meet your mate in September. If attached, you should have a stable love life, shared with one who appreciates your unique imagination. Leo inspires you to new interests and adventures. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. It is going to be a mysterious day, emphasizing the need to be discreet and to do research. A touch of secrecy at the right time assures success. There's a new intensity to your desires and feelings. Tonight, read or watch a romantic drama. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Others shower you with attention and involve you in their future plans. Express enthusiasm and team spirit to assure success. Legal matters will work in your favor. Tell your partner how much he or she means to you. Tonight, keep it light and funny. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. You might find that a nagging worry was just a false alarm. New faces appear and long-time associates are ready to move on. Be cautious with changes in healthcare and your fitness regime. Allow yourself plenty of rest. Tonight, taking it easy. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. An important involvement reaches a turning point today. There could be an upbeat, whirlwind quality to romance. A cherished bond grows and matures. An old love is rekindled. But for good or ill, the same patterns repeat in a relationship. Tonight, pondering. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Your family life and residence are a focus. Examine options and make final decisions today about your home and living arrangements. You will be aware of how family life has evolved over the past year. Tonight, a childhood trauma is put to rest. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today generates marvelous growth. You will be able to analyze your surroundings and improve your life in practical ways. Casual conversations or news stories could be a catalyst for a new opportunity. You sense a time of rebirth and renewal. Tonight, react quickly to assure success. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 2 stars. You'll want to resolve your monies and complete financial planning. It is not a good time to encourage communion with the spirit world. Ignore ghost stories. Dwell on the tangible. Tonight, relax with a good book. By the fire, if you can. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. You are dynamic and at the center of activity. Winter sports and innovations in your approach to work will be in focus. Success comes your way if you combine a friendly charm with professional expertise. Tonight, the personal touch carries you a long way. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Your day opens with an elusive and enchanting mood. Psychic sensitivities are opening. A creative outlet is healthy. Honesty is a must. It's a good day to investigate myths and magic. You might find yourself profitable for yourself. Tonight, early Betty buys. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. You feel drawn into community life and service organizations. Your world widens, promising tremendous growth. Reflect upon the developing potential. Pursue future travel opportunities for when it is safe to travel. Tonight, you will bask in your joyful accomplishments. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 2 stars. Today brings changing dynamics regarding professional aspirations. A touch of humor and tolerance helps you make the best of complex situations. Diplomacy is a must in coping with complex social situations. This softens tensions and dissolves a problem. Tonight, relax. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Today accents awareness of how the world situation impacts you personally. Analyze how shifting economic trends and social issues can best be adapted to your own priorities. You clarify goals and attract associates who are catalysts for advancement. Tonight, celebrate. Born today, writer Zora Neale Hurston, 1891, publisher Jan Wenner, 1947, actor Nicolas Cage, 1964.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.